Begin the current daf Maseches Bava Metzia daf Lamed. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf. And that is, the Mishnah spoke about the obligations that come with a lost object. That is, when you find something, you don't always find the rightful owner right away. So on that, the Mishnah told us regarding different objects, what is required of the person that finds it, what they should do, that it shouldn't rot, it shouldn't get ruined, so you should air it out. So on that, which where our Gemara continues, regarding if someone found clothing, or garment, something made out of cloth. So what he has to do is, he should spread it out for its own requirement, and that is to let the ear get in, that it shouldn't get moldy, it shouldn't get ruined. However, not for his own honor. If let's say he's having guests and people are coming, and he wants it to them to see this beautiful rug that he has, he's not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to use it for his own requirements, for his own needs. However, it's only that it's allowed litzarka for the needs of the garment. So if let's say the rug is going to get ruined if he keeps it rolled up, so you got to roll it out, you got to do the things that are necessary for it, but not for yourself. I thought the Gemara asked, they had the following question. Litzarkai u litzarka mai. What's the halacha if you're doing both at the same time? We said, for your own needs, you're not allowed to. For the needs of the garment, yes. What's if you're doing both at the same time? Is that permitted because ultimately you're doing it what's necessary for the garment too? Or is it going to be forbidden because you're also doing it for yourself? So now the Gemara says, Toshima, let's learn from the words. If you look at our Mishnah closely, you'll be able to figure out the answer. It says, Shoytcha litzarka, that you should spread out, as we just quoted before, you spread it out for the needs of the garment, for the clothing. So the inferences you could understand from that, that means, litzarka in. If you're doing it only for the garment, then yes. Halitzarkai ulitzarkalai. However, if you're doing it for both, since you're also doing it for yourself, that would be forbidden. Because if it would be mutter for both, it should have said that you could even do both. It's telling you only litzarka. However, the Gemara says, but aimer sefer, that, but then look at the continuation of that statement. It says, avoloi lechvaydei, the Mishnah said, however, you cannot do it for your own honor, that, you know, it should look beautiful, that people should be saying, oh, wow, such a nice rug you have. So you could learn from that, lechvaydehu delay, that only if it's for your own honor you can't. Halitzarka ulitzarka shabar damim. But that would sound like if you're not just doing it for your honor. You're also doing it because you're airing it out. And once you're doing it, you're putting it up and people are going to see, so you can have both. That would sound like that would be okay. It's only when you're only doing it lechvaydeh that's a problem. So therefore the Gemara says, Elamahal lekala mashmana. The Gemara concludes and says that you're right, from this, from our Mishnah, from the wording to make inferences, to say, wait, if you say this, then obviously you mean that. We can't conclude from that because the ratio would sound like one way and the sefer would sound like the other way. And obviously one of them is not definitive and we don't know which one. So you can't understand from the Mishnah to understand, to explain our question and to answer that if it would be usr or mutter when it's both litzarkai for his own needs and litzarkai for the garments that he found. So Tashima, the Gemara continues, says, come in here, let's bring a raya from the following brisa. It says, lo yishtachen, a person should not go ahead and spread out the garment, lo yagabe mita, not on a bed, lo yagabe mogoid, not on top of a peg. Now a peg is like one of those things that stick out, you know, on the door that you hang things from. That's if litzarkai. That's if you're doing it for your own needs, you want it to be a beautiful bedspread. These are the things you cannot do with something that you found. However, you could spread it out, agabe mita on the bed, valgabe mogud and on top of a peg, litzarka. If you're doing it to air it out, to do it better for the lost object, that it shouldn't get ruined, then you're allowed to do that. Now, if he has guests coming to his house, lo yishtachena, he should not spread it out, lo yagabe mita, not on the bed, v'lo yagabe mogud, not on a peg, bein litzarka, whether it's for his own needs, and bein litzarka, or even if it's for the needs of the garment. Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara assumes right now. Now, why wouldn't you be able to do something for the needs of the garment? Because when guests are coming over, then you're going to get honored. They're going to say, whoa, such nice linen that you have over here. And therefore, we see that if it's going to be litzarka and litzarkai, because you're going to get honor then we see that it's aser, because even litzarka, for the needs of the garment, are ruined. That is, you can't do it. It's going to be aser when you have guests coming over, which are going to make it also litzarkai. So that answers the question. Now the Gemara says, no, it doesn't answer from that brisa. Because shani hasam, when guests come over, is different. Demikli kolile, because you're going to be burning it. Now, what does that mean? And that is, with spreading it out, you're going to be burning it, and therefore, you're essentially not even having litzarka. In other words, you're spreading it out that it shouldn't get ruined, because it's going to get moldy, it's going to get deteriorated, so you go ahead and spread out, let the ear get in. And that, the Gemara is answering, that when guests come over, there's not even going to be letzarka because you're actually going to be burning the garment. Now, how you're burning it? And that the Gemara gives two explanations how, quote, you're not actually physically burning it, but it means burning it that you're going to be ruining the garment, and don't think you're making it better by spreading it out that the air is getting in, either because imishum eina, either because of the people's eyes, that is the ayin hara, the evil eye of the people that are saying, whoa, look what he has, of the guests, that's going to make something bad happen to that garment, imishum ganavi, or because of theft. That is because maybe the guests are going to be jealous and they're going to steal it. So therefore, these are two reasons why you're going to end up ruining the garment. That's why when guests come, even letzarka, even if you're spreading it out because you want to air it out, don't do that now. Not because that means it's now letzarka u letzarka, because in that case, you're actually not even going to be having letzarka. There's no thing that's beneficial going to be coming out for the garment. There might be that's going to air out, but it's going to be worse in the sense that it might get stolen or the ayin hara is going to make something bad happen to that garment. So again, we didn't answer the question yet. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's come in here from the following braisa that talks about the egla rufa. The egla rufa was decapitated calf. And that is the way it worked was if somebody was found murdered between two cities, so they had to figure out which was the closest city, the elders of that city would come, bring this egla, this calf, and they would go ahead and do a certain process, and they would take and they would cut off the head of the animal. That would be part of the process of the egla rufa. Now, the pasuk says about the egla rufa, this calf, that it was never allowed to have work done with it. It was never allowed to carry an oil, a yoke. It has to be that it never had worked. So regarding this egla rufa, we have to make sure that there was never this invalidation, the psul of work being done with it. So we have to find such an animal. So the braisa discusses the following case of the calf. Hechnisa l'rivka v'dasha. If let's say someone had brought this egla, now we want to know if this calf is going to be kosher, was it that never, that work was never done with it, when it was still young, it was brought into a rivka. Now a rivka is that you have like 3-4 animals that are attached at their neck with a harness and they're threshing the tuwa, the grain, and that is it steps on the stalks and has that the grain comes out of the stalks. That's what part of the process of making bread is you thresh the grain. So this egla that we want to use for that rufa was brought into there and it threshed together with the animals that were attached to the harness. On that the braisa says ksherim. It's still going to be kosher. Now, why is it going to be kosher? It did a malacha. It did work. It threshed. Now, the reason is because the owner that sent the egla, the calf, to its mother that was there amongst those that were working over there was not with the intention that it should thresh. Although now when it's walking to its mommy, it's going to be stepping on the grain and the grain's going to be coming out of the stalks. And so it is threshing. However, that wasn't its intention. It was that it should nurse from its mother. And that's why it's still going to be kosher. It's as if it never did work yet and it's still kosher for the egla rufa. However, if bishvil shatinik vitidish, if the intention of the owner was when he sent the egla, sent the calf to go nurse from its mommy, was to nurse, and also he said, you know, once it's going to be stepping on the grain, and it's also going to be threshing, because its mother was there and it's threshing. Now the daughter's coming there to nurse, but he also figures, hey, it's going to thresh on the way, then pesula. Then it's going to be invalid to be used as an egla rufa, because now it did have work that was done with it, because it went and it threshed. And now the Gemara concludes the point that we want to have from this braisa regarding our question of letzarka and letzarka. V'ahacha, but over here in the last case that we just quoted, diletzarkai uletzarkahu, there is essentially these two components. And that is, there's something that the owner wants to be done with the animal, letzarkai, which is the threshing. Then there's also letzarka, which is for the needs of the calf, which is to go ahead and nurse. And what that means is that there's one element to invalidate it from being egla rufa, which is when his threshing that he wants. And there's another point of not to invalidate it, because it's going to go ahead and nurse, and that's not work that it's going to be doing, as we said in the first case of the braisa. Yet uktani besulo, we learned that although you're right, it's letzarka, it's doing it for its own needs of nursing from the mother, and therefore it wouldn't be pasul to be an egla rufa, because that's not considered doing work, because it wasn't meant to do that, it was just going to nurse. But since it was also letzarka, he had said, you know what, once it's going to nurse, let it thresh also. So we see that makes it invalid, that added piece. So that should answer our question too. That is, although when you're spreading out the garment that you found, letzarka is mutter, but since you're additionally doing it letzarkai for your own need, that you want people to see what beautiful garments you have, and then you have that, would make it usr, just like over there by the egla rufa, by adding on your own letzarkai, that makes it possible. Then the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya from the halacha of Egla Rufa. Because Shani Asim, there it's different. The Amar Kra, the Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, regarding the Egla Rufa, it says, Asher loy ubad ba, that no work was done with it. Mikol Malkim, that means in any instance whatsoever. In other words, even if it was also being done Letzar Ka, you're right, it was going to nurse, but since it was also doing it for work, to do the threshing of the dash, that's Asher loy ubad ba, no work could be done with it. So although it's also doing it for itself, but since it's doing at least somewhat of a work, it's going to be us. By that, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, and that is, normally you would say, doing it for the needs of the garment and doing it for your own needs, maybe that would be permitted. But here we have a special pasuk that tells you if you're also doing it for yourself, you're doing any malacha whatsoever, that's going to be forbidden, and that's why you can't bring a raya from Egla Rufa. But then how do you understand the first case? Ihachi afilu reishanami, even the first case, where it was only doing it for, he only sent it to go nurse from its mommy. But when it was doing it, it did work. It was threshing on it. It was stepping on the grain, on the stalks, and letting the grain come out when it was going to go to its mommy, because they were all there in that area. And therefore, that should be a violation of asher lo ubad ba. It shouldn't do any work whatsoever. Because you're saying litzarka, and litzarka is usually okay. So here also, that, but since you did somewhat of a work, so it's also here also, it should definitely be okay because it's only a litzarka for its own needs, but since it did work, that should be included in the gzeir sarkas of asher lo ubad ba, and here it did do some work. And that the Gemara says, that hol lo idam, you know, this brison, specifically the case of the reisha, is only comparable el l'hadetnat. Rather, it's compared to this that we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Parah, and from there we could understand why our halacha is the difference between the case of the Reisha and the case of the Sefer, why one of them is saying that you did do some work, even though it's also Litzarka, and the other one is saying we don't consider it as if you did any work. Now this Mishnah Masechtas Parah is talking about Paraduma. Paraduma is the red heifer, which is a cow that's totally red, and that is the cow that they would take and use the ashes of that cow and mix it with some water, and they would go ahead and spray someone that became tummy from a corpse on the third and the seventh day. And now, as we're going to quote, that there's the comparison between Egla Rufa and Paraduma. They have the same halachas. So regarding the Paraduma, the Mishnah says, Shachan alaha oif, if a bird landed on top of the cow, so it's carrying something, it's work being done with it, it was carrying a yoke. In spite of that, the Mishnah says kasher. It is kasher, because although there's something on it, there's no one that wants that, so therefore it's going to be valid. Allah leha zachar, however, if a male, in other words, of a bull, which is a male, the man cow, that mounts on top of the cow, then pesula, then it's going to be invalid. And that's because, as Rashi explains, it says in the pasuk over there, asher lo olo aleha oil, that it didn't carry any yoke. And we learn in the Braisa, it's brought in Masech Desaita, that we would think it's only a yoke. And ultimately, the Gemara ends up learning from Egla Rufa, as we said, that they compare the halachas of Egla Rufa to Paraduma. And therefore, Rashi says, this case of when he lets it go into the Rivka, it goes into those where its mommy is, and it threshes, where he didn't want it to go thresh, he just wanted it to go nurse, that is the same as the case of Shochan Ala'if. You didn't want this bird whatsoever. And therefore, just like we see by Paraduma, that Shochan Ala'if is kasher, because you didn't intend for it whatsoever. Therefore, here also, the Reisha case you're asking, that should also be Asr, because it ended up doing some work, it stepped on the stalks, and therefore it did dash, it did malachad, it was threshing. That's not a question, because that's just like we find by Paraduma, where if you didn't want it whatsoever, that's not as if you did, it's almost as if you didn't even do any work, or if it didn't carry a yoke. Whereas the other case of when a male, when a bull mounts on it, that's going to have children, there's going to be something beneficial coming out of that, that he is pleased with that. That's going to be aser. And therefore, that's like the other case that we have when it's litzarka, you litzarka, that is a violation of asher lo ubad ba, that it is as if some work did with it because he was pleased with it. Now the Gemara explains exactly my time, but what is the reason of that? So we're finding a source for this halacha of Egla Rufa, the differences between when he totally doesn't want this malacha to be done. Like Shochan Ala Oif, that's not as if a work was done with it. That's not a violation of similarly by Egla Rufa Asher Lo Ubad Ba. That's the case of when he's just sending it to his mommy to nurse, that's not a problem. But when he also wants something to be done with it, when he's pleased with it, let's say when a bull mounts onto the Paradumo, or by the case of Egla Rufa, where he said, you know what, when it's going to nurse, let it also thresh, that's a problem. What's the reason for that difference? So now the Gemara says, Kedrav Papa. Now, related to this statement of Rav Papa, there's a difference in what's called ksiv and kri. That is, there's a way a word is written in the Torah, and then there's a way that it's pronounced, the way it's read. So the Gemara explains as follows. The Amar Rav Papa said, Iksiv ubad, if the way the pasuk was written regarding the egla rufa, regarding again that calf that was decapitated, that had his head chopped off in between the two cities where the person was murdered, if it was written in the sense of that work was done with it, which is what's called passive, that is, if it would, let's say, it would have written I involve vase dalet, the karinan ubad, and we would read it as we do ubad, that it had work done with it. Again, doesn't mean you're doing it. It means that work was done with it. So havamina afilamina. Then I would have thought to say that even if it happened by itself, if let's say a bird landed on it, or it went to its mommy and it went to thresh, where you didn't want work to do with it, but work was done with it, and that I would say that would be invalid, because that's what the pasuk is saying, both in the way it would be written and the way it would be pronounced. Whereas vikos of viksiv avad, if the pasuk would have written as it is written, ayin veiz dalad, that means to do work, the karinan of it, and we would have pronounced it also that ashalot avad ba, that no work was done with it, which means the active, that means you, the owner, havamina ad avad be'ihus. I would have thought to say, until actually the owner goes and does work with it, then it would be possible, but if it happens by itself, then it wouldn't be, even if you're pleased with it. Hashtu d'chsiv avad, but now that it actually, the way it's written is ayin veiz dalad, which means you doing work, the Karin and Ubad, but the way we pronounce it now is not Avad with a kamatz, but rather Ubad. So therefore, the halach is now being an Ubad dum yud Avad. So we synthesize. We put together both the way it's written and the way that it's read, that you need when it happens by itself, which is Ubad, as if, which is similar to when you would do it yourself. Now, what does that mean? How could that be? One's by itself and one's when you would do it. So the comparison is ma avad denichalei, just like when you do something, it's something that you prefer, it's something that you want. You wouldn't be doing it if you didn't want it. Af ubad denichalei, so too, when it happens by itself, it means that you prefer it, which that is exactly the case of the seifa when we said that if you're in, that let's say when the bull mounts the cow, where that's a male and female, they could have children, that's something that you prefer. That's already included in ubad dum yud abad. That's a problem. That's going to be a psul. Similarly, that's the case of when he wants it to when it's going to nurse. Also, when it's going, let it thresh. That's, quote unquote, we wanted to say letzarka and letzarka. No, it's not letzarka and letzarka. Because here we have a special gzeiras hakasa that says, asher lo ubed ba mikal makim, under all circumstances, if it does any work, that's going to be the iser of having work done with it, which is ubad dumi da'abad, since you're pleased with it, that's already going to be considered a malacha that violates it. However, regarding our question, we have not answered it regarding the aveda, when he's spreading it out for letzarka and letzarka, there maybe the halacha would be that would be permitted. Here it's only because we have a gzeiras hakasa that tells us that it can't be specifically even any malacha that's pleasing to you, because that would be considered already ubad dumi da'avad. That would be something that's pleasing to you, which would be a violation of carrying a yoke or doing work with it. So the Gemara has not resolved this question of letzarka ulitzarka. Now the Gemara moves on to the next case of the Mishnah, which was kli chesed or kli nechayshes, regarding the silver vessels or copper vessels. So the Mishnah said, mishtamash ben, you should use them. And that is, however, the Mishnah has told us, letzarkan, but not leshachkan. In other words, it's for what's necessary, because it's in the ground and it's going to get ruined, so you take it out. But don't use it too much, because then it's going to wear it out. Now the Gemara quotes a brisa, which talks about many different types of vessels. Tana rabbanan learn the brisa. Hamoitzi kli eitz, if someone finds a wooden vessel, mishtamash behen b'shvil shelo yirkavu, you use them, why? So they shouldn't rot. Kli nechayshes, regarding copper vessels, mishtamash behen b'chamen, you can use them with hot stuff, and as Rashi explains, most definitely with cold things, avol lo yaldei ho'ur, but you cannot use it, in other words, you can't put the vessel itself on the fire, mipnei shemashchikan, because although, again, it could be used with hot stuff, but when you put it on the fire itself, it wears it out, and that's why you can't use it in that way. Kli chesef, regarding silver vessels, mishtamash ben mitzayin, you can use it with cold things, avaloi b'cham, and not with hot things, b'mnei shemashchirin, because when you use it with hot things on the silver, it's going to blacken the silver, and again, it's going to ruin it. Magrefis, shovels, now Rashi said these shovels were used to either shovel out the ovens, or they were used to separate the figs that were attached. The kardumis and hatchets are like these small types of axes, which has a sharp blade to chop things. Mishtamish ben barach, you can use them with soft things. Avaloi b'kasha, but not with hard things. Mnei shemafchisan, because it ruins it, it dents the blade, it ruins these items, And therefore, again, you have to use the vessels so that they should stay in shape, but you don't want to ruin them. Klei zav or klei zchuch is regarding gold vessels and glass vessels. Lo yigibehen atshe yavel yoet, as we said in our mission, you shouldn't touch it until Eliyahu Nevi comes. Again, gold because it will last in the ground, you don't have to take it out. And glass because it's going to break, something's going to happen to it. And then the Braisa concludes, Kederch Sha'amr Ba'aveda. So just like we said these halachas regarding these lost objects, when you find them, you should use them, but again, in the way the Braisa just described them, Kachamr Bipikadin. That's exactly what they said regarding a deposit. If someone gives you something to watch, again, you have to keep it and make sure it doesn't get ruined. So you should do the same things as we said regarding the lost object. Which Gemara asks, Pikadin, regarding a deposit, if someone gives you something to watch, what does this have to do with him? In other words, why does he have to go ahead and use them in these different times that they shouldn't get ruined? Let the owner, who he said you should watch it, let him come and use it. What's the purpose of you going ahead and doing all these different things for it? He can come and take care of it. You're just watching it that it shouldn't get ruined. That Amrav Ad, Barachama, Amrav Sheishes, Bipikodin, we're talking about a deposit, Shaholchu Balein LeMedina Sayam, that the owners went overseas and they gave it to you and said, look, we're going to go away for a very long time. Go ahead, please watch it. So you need to maintain, just like you have to watch it shouldn't get stolen, you have to watch it. It shouldn't rot. Things shouldn't happen to it. And therefore, part of that is taking care of it. Just like we said, when you find a lost object and you want to be able to return it to him in the proper fashion, that means you have to take care of it up until then. Same thing is with a deposit if they go very far away. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that said, "Matza sak kupa." If somebody finds a sack or a box, "V'chol davar she'in darkei litol," or all other things where it's not the person who finds it, it's not his way to go ahead and take these things—a sackcloth, "Harizu litol." So the Mishnah said, actually, you don't have to take it; you don't have to return it. The other Gemara asked, "Manan mili?" From where do we know this? Where do we find that somebody doesn't have to do the mitzah of a shavas aveda? So the Gemara said, "Tan rabban," like we learned the brisa, says in the pasuk "V'hisalamta," and that you will hide from it. So now the pasuk in Devarim, Perek Chav Beis, pasuk Alf says that leisire asherichich, you shouldn't see the ox of your brother, or his sheep nidachim that are pushed away, v'salamta, and you're going to go ahead and hide from it, you're going to conceal yourself from it. Don't do that. Hashiv teshivim lachicha, go ahead and return it to your brother. Now the way the pasuk is written, it says v'salamta mehem, that is, it's coming to teach you actually that you are allowed to, because it's written in that way. It says, the way you would normally read it is, and you'll hide from it. Don't do that, rather return it. But it says, v'salamtem, and you will hide from it, comes to teach you actually that you are allowed to hide from it. As the Braisa says, pa'amim sha'ata mis'alim, sometimes you are allowed to hide your eye from it. Upam shi'ata mis'alim, sometimes you're not allowed to hide from it. As the pasuk later on, the pasuk Gimel there says, le'sucha l'salim, you're not allowed to go ahead and hide your eye. So, okay, so how do we understand this? When are you allowed to turn a blind eye and as if you didn't see it and don't return it? And when do you say, loy sucha lisam? You cannot go ahead and hide from it and you have to return it. So that the Braisa says, hayakayin, if let's say the one who finds it is a kayin, the and the lost object is bebes akvaris in the cemetery, which is forbidden for a kayin to go into. Oy, another case, shayizakin, he was an elderly person. It's not according to the honor of this person that he should go ahead and return this object. Oy, or a third case, the person who was going ahead, and if he wouldn't work, the work that he would be losing out on would be more money than the object of this person that's lost. And those things, the Braisa tells us, that's why it says you should turn the blind eye, you should hide from it, and that is in these cases, one is not responsible to go ahead and return it. On that, the Gemara asks, we just quoted three cases. The kayin, and the object is in the cemetery, an elderly person, and it's not according to his honor, and someone that his work that he would be losing out on to go ahead and return this object would be worth more money, it would be more of a loss than what this guy's object is actually worth in the first place. So we said that these are the things that we said you don't have to go ahead and return. And that the Gemara asks, which one of these actually needs a pasuk to tell you when we're saying b'salam to him? As the Gemara explains, Ilema l'kayin v'hibi basic forest, if the pasuk is needed for the case of the kayin and the lost object is in the cemetery, and on that the pasuk is teaching you, you don't have to go ahead and return it. On that the Gemara is pshita, it's obvious, you don't need a pasuk. Hayaseh, the mitzvah to do hashavas aveda is a positive commandment of hashiv teshivim. Now Rashi explains, although there's also a negative prohibition, that loisucha l'sam, that you can't turn the blind eye and you have to return it, however, regarding what the Gemara is going to quote in a moment of Aseidur Chaloisasei, a negative prohibition is not involved whatsoever, doesn't help to override another Loisasei. Only a positive commandment, as the Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos and Daf Chaf Aleph and Aleph explains, can go into overriding other prohibitions. So therefore, the only thing we're considering is the Aseh, and it only has one Aseh, of Hashif Teshivim. So high Aseh, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, is a positive commandment. The high, but this prohibition of a kohen to go into a cemetery of becoming tameh is loisa se vaseh, is a negative prohibition and a positive commandment, which is lo nefesh lo yitameh, which is a negative prohibition, don't do that, and kedeshim yu, that they should be holy, and that's a positive commandment, which says, but don't become tameh. So, v'lo yasi aseh, v'dochi es loisa se vaseh, we know that although there's a halacha of aseh doche loisa se, a positive commandment to do overrides a negative prohibition that will be violated in the process of doing that. For example, if there's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis and there's going to be klayim, which is prohibited to wear, prohibited mixtures, the positive commandment says that you override the negative one. But here, it's a positive commandment in the face of a negative and a positive commandment, which, as we said, is l'nefesh le'itamei kedeshim yu, that it doesn't do. So why do I need a pasuk to tell you who can't? We already know, asei lo'y doicha lo'y saseh baseh. You will not push away the isra of going into the cemetery. And moreover, another reason why you wouldn't need a pasuk is because lo'y dechinen isur mikmei memayna. We never go ahead and push away a violation of an isra in the category of things that you're allowed to do or not do in the face of monetary reasons. And that is, this whole purpose of returning the object is a monetary halacha. It's someone else's money. Money doesn't override isser, which is a prohibition of going into the cemetery. So again, why would I need a pasuk? So the Gemara says, you're right. The Besalamtem is not teaching you that halacha. So, So what are you going to say? Maybe it's for the third case that we quoted. When this person's lost, the one who finds it, he's someone that he makes who knows how much a day, he's making $1,000, $10,000, and he was on the way, and he finds some little toy. So he's going to lose much more money than what this object is worth. And that, you're telling me, the pasuk says, v'salam t'mehem, that he could go ahead and turn the blind eye, and he doesn't have to return that little toy. But that, the Gemara says, I don't need a pasuk for that either. We know it from Rav Yehuda Merav's halacha. Damar Rav Yehuda Merav, in quoting a pasuk of Devarim, he makes a drush on the pasuk. The pasuk says, Ephes, however, ki, and we continue on to Amud Beis, lo yiyev ha'evyon, that will not be amongst you any poor people. And this was foretelling that if the Jewish people keep the halachas, no, there's not going to be any paupers, any poor people. However, the drasha that he makes in this is that lo yiyev ha'evyon, in you, in other words, you should make sure that you don't become poor. That's the most important, lo yiyev ha'evyon, which the drasha is, shelcha koidim lishel kol adam. Your monetary needs, your finances, are more important than someone else. First, make sure that you're not going to be poor. And therefore, you don't have to go ahead and return it because you're going to get such a great loss by going ahead and doing the mitzvah, returning this small little object. And therefore, I don't need the v'hisalam t'mehem to teach you that if I already know it from the pasuk of that you should not be poor. The Gemara concludes, it's for the middle case. The reason why we needed v'salam t'mehem was for an elderly person, and it's not fitting for his honor to go ahead and return it. That's what it says, v'salam t'mehem, sometimes you could turn a blind eye, and you don't have to go ahead and return it. However, related to this halacha, Amar Rabbi says, Hikisha, if this person, this elderly person, this chash of a person, that's not according to his honor to return it, and he doesn't have to, if he went and he hit it, he saw an animal and he hit it to go ahead and, you know, to move it towards where its owner is, then chayiba. Then he's already obligated to do the entire return, to do the hashavas aveda and return it to his owner. And the reason is because, as Rashi explains, since he started doing the mitzvah, he gave it a small little push, so he started returning it in the direction of its owner, then he has to go ahead and complete the mitzvah of hashavas aveda. So actually, the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this halacha, that Abaye habu Yosef kamei de Rabba. Abaye was sitting in front of Rabba, who he was the one that said this halacha. Chazal hanach izi de kaimah, so he saw these goats that were just sitting around. So, shakal kala, he took a piece of dirt, but shadow, he threw it to them that they should go back to where their owner is. Amalei, so Rabbi told them, Ichayavt behu, you already became obligated in the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, kum adrino, get up and return to them, because although you didn't have to, because you were maybe a zakar in Ben Levi Chavaydai, but once you started, you have to complete the mitzvah. So now related to this halacha, the Gemara asked the following question. Ibai Luhu, they asked this, we said that someone that's zakan ve'en l'fi chvayde doesn't have to return it, but if he started, then he has to complete. So the Gemara asks, if his custom is that he normally would return it if it was in the field, where there's not that many people see over there, he's not going to be embarrassed, it won't be degrading for his honor. However, but he normally would not return something in the city because then he's embarrassed from his neighbors and therefore he wouldn't go ahead and return it, and it's not according to his honor. Now this person finds it in the field. Now what's the halacha to go ahead and be obligated in doing the Hashavas Aveda in this case? As the Gemara explains. Do we say that there's no point in returning it halfway? If you Hashavas Aveda is that you should return it all the way to the owner. You need a complete return. Now, V'kivin de'lav darkei l'hachzer, since this person, it's not his custom to return something that he finds in the city, so loy l'chayiv. Therefore, he shouldn't be obligated to start returning it in the field, because what's the point? Although now in the field, which is, let's say, half the journey to the person's house in the city, he would do that, but he's going to stop when he comes to the city, so there's no point in requiring him to even start the Hashava. Like Demo, maybe do you say, in the field, he is obligated, because here it's not v'hisalam to mehem, it's not v'ein l'fich v'ayda, because he would do things like that in the field where people don't see. And v'kivin d'ichayiv le'basada, so once he becomes obligated in the fields, because he starts moving it, and we said once you stop moving it, ichayiv le'beir, so therefore then he becomes obligated to return the city, so because although it's not l'fich v'ayda, but as Rabbi said before, once you start doing it, then you have to finish it. And here, since you have to start in the field, because here you don't have the exemption of ve'in l'fich v'ayda, because it is according to your honor in the field, and therefore you have to complete it in the city, and then the Gemara says, take, let it stand, it's not clear where the logic would be in this halacha. Do you say that since he wouldn't complete it, he doesn't have to start it? Or do you say that, no, since he has to start it, he would have to complete it? Now the Gemara qualifies this halacha that we were just speaking about regarding ve'ena lefich vaydai. So Amar Rava says, kol b'shaloi machzer, if it would be your object, you would return it, then b'shal chaveri name machzer. Then it's if your friends, you also have to return. You can't say, well, it doesn't pass, it's not according to my honor. If it's yours, you would make sure that it wouldn't get ruined, so then your friends also. And similarly, b'chol she'b'shaloi pyrik v'tayin, regarding another halacha of a person's money, which is not only regarding a lost object, but if regarding his own thing, he would unload and load, which is unloading the load from a donkey and then loading it back up, then b'shal chaveri nami perek v'tayin, then regarding his friends, he also has to help unload from the animal and load it up. As Rashi says, those are psukim netarev, aziv, taziv, you should help him out to unload it and hakim tukim, which is to then load it up on the animal. That's a mitzvah. Yes, there would be an exemption of ein l'fich v'ayday if it didn't pass and he wouldn't do the work on his own, just like he wouldn't do it for his own lost object. However, if you would do it for your own animal, so then you would have to do it, and that would include in not only for the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, if you would do it for your own, then the same thing would apply to pre-ken te'ina, unloading the animal, unloading it up, although we're saying there's a halacha of ein l'fich v'ayday, but if you do it for yourself, you have to do it for others too. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha. Rabbi Shmuel b'Reb Yesi, have a ka'azal b'orcha. He was going once on the road. He met this person, Havadari Paska de Ufe, who was carrying a load of wood. Now, Isvinu v'kom mitvach, so he put down the load of wood, this person, and he was resting. Amale, so now that this person told to Rabbi Shmuel b'Reb Yesi, he said, Dalili, you know, help me load it up to me, it's very hard. So Amale, so Rabbi Shmuel b'Reb Yesi told him, he says, Kama shavin, how much is this load worth it that you're already schlepping? Amale palga de zuz, he says, worth a half a zuz. So Yavle Palga de Zuz, he gave him half a Zuz, so that he wouldn't have to help him load it up. Va'afkra, and then he declared it ownerless, you know, whoever wants to get it, but it wasn't worth the effort to go ahead and load up the poor person, he gave him the money value of it. Hadir Zachabhu. Then that person went and reacquired it from Hefker. It was Hefker, so it's ownerless. So now he went and took it, and he says, again, help me load it up. So Hadir Yavle Palga de Zuz of Afkra. So again, he went and he paid him a half a Zuz. He says, look, you know, instead of loading it up, I'll just give you the value of it. And then he declared ownerless again. So Chazya, so then Rabbi Shmuel b'Reb Yisi saw, Tava Kaboy Lemehadil Mezaki Behu. He saw the person was going back to go ahead and acquire it again. He would ask him for the third time to go ahead and load it up. So Amalei, so quickly he said, Lukuli Al Afkirinu, I'm declaring it ownerless for everybody, but for you it's not going to be Hefker. So you can't go ahead and acquire it. It's Hefker for everybody, but for you. But then the Gemara asks on that story, which then the Gemara is going to ask a question that's related to the halacha we were discussing. Does Hefker actually work like that? That you could declare something ownerless except for certain people? But right now we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Peya that says, Bishami Aimrim, Bishami say, Hefker la'aniyim. if someone went and made something ownerless only for poor people, that Beis Shammai says, Hefker is still considered Hefker. Now, what is that halachic nafka mina? It's regarding being exempt from Maaser. That is, there's a halacha that you have to give a tenth from your produce to the Levim. However, as the Gemara learns from Sukkim, that's only things which is only yours, but if it's ownerless and even the Levim have a part of that, then whoever gets that Hefker does not have to give a tenth of that to the Levim. And Beis Shammai tells us that even if you're making it only Hefker for certain individuals, which are, let's say, poor people, it still has the halachic status of Hefker. Basil Aimim ain't a hefker. Basil say it's not hefker. Achye hefker la niim ul ashim kashmita, until it's totally ownless for poor people, wealthy people, like Shmita, which is the seventh year of the cycle, which that's ownless where everybody could take it, even the wealthy. That's when something would be considered hefker to be exempt from the halachas of Maaser. But if not, it's not. And therefore the question is, how could we go ahead and say it's Hefker for everybody, but for you, we see from Beis Hillel that you can't. Hefker is only works as this halacha if it's totally for everybody. And here he's trying to say an exception for somebody. And that the Gemara answers, Eli Reb Shmuel b'Reb Yesi, the truth is, L'kuli am Hefker. He was Mafkrit for everybody. He was just telling him words to try to get him to not go ahead and take it. But in halacha, the truth is, of course, it was totally hefka, and the person was able to reacquire it. But he was just telling him this thing to him, get the message that, you know what, you're not allowed to go ahead and take it because I'm not going to go ahead and have this. He was trying to prevent him from reacquiring it, that he would have to do this again, either help him or to give him the value of a half as a. So that answers that question, how he was able to do that. He, in halacha, it really was hefka. He was just trying to avoid that problem. But now the Gemara asks, related to what we're discussing, the great Talmud Chacham, Zokin Veinel Fich Vaidehava, he was an elder, that it wasn't according to his honor, and therefore, why did he have to do this whole thing, and have to help him up, and put it on his back, and therefore he says, you know what, let me just pay you the value, but he doesn't even have to be involved with him the first time, why do you have to keep on paying him, and playing that game, and he reacquired it, and then he had to try to tell him the statement, he doesn't have to do it in the first place, so why was he involving himself? That the Gemara answers, Reb Shmuel b'Reb Yosi lifnim mishuris hadin hu da'avad. He was going within the line of the law, which is, as it says, beyond the letter of the law. He didn't have to do it, but there is a halacha of lifnim mishuris hadin, to do more than you have to. So though he didn't have to, but he was doing lifnim mishuris hadin. As we learned, the Tanya of Yosef as Yosef taught us, is a pasuk in Shemais that says, v'hidat lehem, that you should let it be known to them. Now this pasuk is in Perek Yud Ches, Pasik Chaf, that says Vizharta Eshem, that you should warn them about Esachukim, Esatiris, the statutes and the laws, Vaidatalahem, and you should let them know, and this is the part of the Psukim that we're going to take each word and explain what that's a reference to, Eshaderech Yelchuba, the path that they should go in it, Vesamasa Shayasin, and the actions that they should be doing. That's what Hashem was saying, that you should teach the Jewish people. Now that, what do these words mean? So Rav Yosef broke it down, and one of them is this halacha of doing lefnim mishuris hadin. So he says, v'hidat lehem, that you should let it be known to them, zeh bishayim, this is their livelihood. And that is, you should teach them a profession, how to make money. And that's because Rashi says that the first half of the pasuk already spoke about chukis and tayres. So therefore, what is the rest of the pasuk saying, v'hidat lehem? What's lehem for them? It means to say you should teach them a parnasa, a way to make a living. Es haderech, when it says the path, what's the path? Zugimelis chasadim, that's loving kindness, that's doing nice things to people. That's because, as the Maharsha explains, haderech, what's the path? That's Hashem's path, which is the path of chesed. Then asher is not part of the pasuk, yelchu, that they should go in. Zepikachem, that's a reference to visiting the sick people, as the Gemara will later explain, that just going to the sick person takes away part of his sickness, and therefore that is what yelchu is a reference to doing. Ba, that this is the path that they should go in, zukvur, that's a reference to burial. And that's because, again, as the Maharsha explains, that's the chesed shalemus of burial, is it ends over here. You don't get anything back from doing burial. He'll never be able to pay you back. That's in this is where it ends. That's a reference to burial. Then when the pasuk continues, v'samasa, and the action, what's the action that a Jewish person should be doing? Zahadin, that's the law, that's the judgment, these are the mitzvahs. Asher yasin, that they should do, which means to say that it's not what you have to do, but what they should do, zu lefnim mishuris hadin. That's going beyond the letter of the law, and we see that's what the pasuk is referring to. So although Reb Shmuel b'Reb Yosi did not have to, but it's something that you should do, and that's what he had done, involving himself in helping out this poor person, even though it wasn't lefich v'yidin. So now the Gemara explains this statement of Reb Yosi that was brought in to explain why Reb Shmuel b'Reb Yosi did this. Amamar. So Rav Yosef had said, Yelchu, that they should go, that Zebikuchem, that's a reference to visiting the sick. Now the Gemara asks, Hainu Gemilas Chasadim. That is loving kindness. That's doing acts of kindness. So that was already included in the Pasuk of Eshasaderech. Why do you have to say another reference to a subcategory of Gemilas Chasadim, of Bikuchem, of visiting the sick? Now the Gemara says, Leinitzucha Ella Ben Gilei. We need it for what's called a Ben Gilei. Now literally, Ben Gilei means someone that has the same age, it's someone that's born under the same mazel, the same constellation as the person that's ill. The Amamar that the master had said, Ben Giloi Noitel Echad Meshishim Mechalye, someone that has the same gil as the person that is ill, he takes away a 60th of that person's illness, and he takes it actually to him. And still, in spite of that, you have to go to that person and do the mitzvah. That way, we would not have known from Gemilas Chasadim, because here you actually have to take part of the person's illness away from him to yourself. And that the chiddush is that even a ben giloi, someone that has under the same mazel as that person, he still has to go ahead and visit. That was the chiddush in Yelchu. Now the Gemara asks, we said ba in it. This is the path that they should go in. Zukvu. That's a reference to burial. Now the Gemara again asks, Hainu Gemilas Chasadim. That's also acts of kindness. Why do you have to say specifically a subcategory of that of burial? And then the Gemara says, Lo Nitzrcha Ella Zakon Ve'in L'Fichavayder. We have to say it for the case of that an elder, a person that's an honorable person, that it's not according to his honor to go ahead and bury people. That's what we need a special reference of but to say that even a Zakon Ve'in L'Fichavayder is obligated to do and be involved in burying a person that had died. Now the Gemara continues, we said, Asher Yasun, that should be done. We said, Zulif Nemishrus, and that was a reference to going beyond the letter of the law, as we said that that's what Reb Shmuel Basi had done. So now the Gemara explains, Dam Rabbi Yechon, like Rabbi Yechon had said, like Churva Yerushalayim, the reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed was Ela Al Shadonu Badin Tayyar, because they had judged according to the laws of the Tayyar. So the Gemara right away asks, Eladine Demigizas Eladina? What do you mean? We should judge like those who force and they torture people until they do things against the law? What does it mean that Yerushalayim was destroyed because they judged according to the law of the Torah? Eleima rather say, Shehemidu Dinehim al Din Torah, that they established their laws according to the laws of the Torah. Avdu Lifnim Mishras Adin. And that the people, the litigants, those who were involved in Din Torah, they said, no, I want to know the halacha, I want to know the psak, what's right is right, and I don't care. And that was why Yerushalayim was destroyed, because they didn't go beyond the letter of the law and said, you know what, even though the law is according to me, I want to make a pshara, I want to make a compromise, that's lefnim mishras adin, that they didn't do, and that's why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which clarifies some of the halachas we spoke up until now. We spoke about that there are certain avedis that harei Yerushalayim you can keep. We spoke about avedis that are not, that you cannot keep, that you have to call out. Then we said certain things are not even lost in the first place, the lo yuga behen. So now the Mishnah explains, Eizai hi aveda. What is considered a lost object, which the Gemara will explain exactly what that means. But as Tosafot explains, that the person should understand that the owner knows it's here. It wasn't lost from him. How do you know if it was lost or not? I see it laying over here. Is it lost? Is it not? So that's what our Mishnah comes to explain. If you find a donkey or a cow grazing on the road, that's not a lost object, and therefore you don't have to return it because the owner went and put it there. He's letting it graze. However, and if you see a donkey and its gear, it's all turned upside down, or you see a cow that's running between in the vineyards where it's going to get harmed and ruined from the thorns and the vines that are there, that's obviously a lost object. Then you know you have to return it. Now the Mishnah tells us, if let's say you returned it and it ran away again, and then you returned it and again it ran away. Even 4 or 5 times you're returning it, it gets lost again, you return it again. It's still, you would have to return it. Like it says the pasuk in Devarim, Hashav Teshivim, return, you shall return. You should constantly keep on returning, even though you already returned it once, twice, 3 times, 4 times. Now the Mishnah tells us, Hayabatl Misela, if let's say for not working the job that I was supposed to be doing, instead I went to return this lost object, I lost out on a sela. The halach is lo yomerla, you can't tell the person that you found his lost object and you went to return it to him, tenli sela, give me this coin that I lost from the work that I was supposed to be doing. Rather, Elonaisin Loischar Kapoil, rather the one whose object was lost, that's getting returned to him, he pays him like a worker. And that is the one who gets his object returned, tells the one who found it, he says, look, if you would have been working, you would have been working harder. You would have been having whatever work you were doing, maybe you were schlepping things, whatever it is. But now I'm going to pay you how much effort you put into just return my object, which wasn't that hard. You just had to walk down the block or whatever it is. So I'm going to pay you like a worker, which the Gemara is going to explain. What does that mean? He pays him like a worker, but not like the job that he's missing out on, which would have been paying him more. However, the Mishnah does tell us, Im yesham bezdin, if there is a bezdin around, and that is, if let's say this person that found the object, he would rather work hard and to get paid more, like the job that he was supposed to be doing. He doesn't want to stop doing his work that the guy's going to tell him, hey, you know, you didn't do the hard job you were doing, so I'm not going to pay you how much money you lost out on. So therefore, what should such a person do? So if there is a bezin around, which means if there's three people around, masna b'fnei bezin, he makes a condition in front of these three people, in front of bezin, and he tells them, like, look, I make this amount an hour. This is how much money I'm making. I don't want to stop working to go ahead and return this person's lost object to get paid this minimal amount, this little amount that he's going to pay me. So look, I will return the object if you bezdin tell me that I'll be able to take the amount of money that I'm losing to go ahead and return this person's lost object. And then the halach is he can do that. However, the Mishnah says, it means shum bezdin, if there is no bezdin, there's no three people around, b'fnei miyasna, in front of who he's going to make this condition that when he comes to return it and the guy's going to tell him, look, I'm not paying you how much you would normally get paid, I'll pay you how much a worker would get paid. And then the guy's going to say, well, that's not what I had in mind. So what should he do? Therefore, the Mishnah tells us, Shalei Kaidim, his money, his value comes first. And therefore, he doesn't go ahead and return the object because he would be losing out on more money that he would preferably be making. And therefore, he doesn't return in such a case. Nothing more comes to explain from the first cases that we spoke about. We wanted to know what is considered a lost object. So we said that if you have a donkey that's turned upside down and its gear is all on the floor, then we know that's a lost object. But the Gemara asks, wait a second. We're on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Atu Kol Hani Daminan. So you're telling me that all the things we set up until now, all the Mishnayos from the beginning of the Perek, that Lava Vedahava, they weren't lost objects? In other words, what is the Mishnah teaching us? We spoke about Eilu Metziyah Shalai. These are the lost objects, the found objects that are yours. And it says these are lost items. And you could keep them. And then said lost items that you have to return. What is our Mishnah talking about, that these are lost items? So that I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hachikama. This is what our Mishnah is teaching us. Ezahi klal aveda. What is the general understanding of a lost object? And that is a general object that you find. Shehu chayiva, that you would be obligated. In other words, what would be indicative? What is proving that this is here that without the owner's knowledge that he doesn't want it here? In other words, of course there are other lost objects, not just the case of a donkey upside down. But we wanted to give you your criteria. We wanted to give you the understanding, the template that you could compare to all different halachas to know that this is something that he doesn't know that it's here and it's lost from him. And that is what our Mishnah explained, that matzacham maru pararoy mederech, if you find a donkey and a cow that's just grazing on the road, ein zu aveda, that's not a lost object to even then say, is it, do I get to keep it, do I have to return it? It's not a lost object, v'loy mechayev, and therefore you're not obligated that you leave it. However, if it's a donkey and its vessels, its utilities, its gear, it's turned upside down, or or if it's a cow that's running amongst the vineyards, then that's a lost object, and then you'd be obligated in it to go ahead and figure out what do you do with this lost object, but it definitely is lost because the owner would not want it to be in that state. Now the Gemara asks, fine, so that's what our Mishnah is teaching us. But is that forever? In other words, if let's say I'm walking on the road for a month, for 2 months, for a year, and I always see this animal grazing on the road, so I'm going to say the owner wants it there? What do you mean? He never brings it back home? Does that make sense? So that Rabbi Yehuda Marav, he says, Ad Shleisha Yam. What we meant to say was up until 3 days. If you walk on the road, it makes sense that an owner would let his cow go ahead and donkey just graze on the road. But if it's you walking by for a month and you see it's still there, something is amiss. So we're saying 3 days is the halacha, but then we say that then it would be considered an aveda. But not the Gemara asks, hey, chedami, what exactly is the case that we're talking about? When did you find it there to say that 3 days is going to be the limit? If you saw it there at nighttime, then even for one moment, it should already be considered a lost object because people don't let their cows graze on the road, even on the road if it's at nighttime, so it must be lost. And if it's during the day, what do you mean? Even if you saw it there for a month, it also should not be a lost object because every day his animal goes and grazes on the road. Why should you think that it's considered a lost object? That the Gemara answers, Loi Tzricha, what we needed for this halach of Rav, that it's 3 days, is the cutoff. That's the Abachazi La Bekadmasa. He saw it there very early in the day, before Alois HaShachar, before the break of dawn. Ubechashechta, and he saw it there very late at night. And therefore, Tlosa Yayimi Yamrin, and for 3 days, did say, Isramuyi Isrami La Venavka. It happened to be that he let it out very early, and he kept it out late. But more than that, we say it's definitely lost. In other words, generally, yes, during the day, he could every day do it like that. But however, so early in the morning, it's not usually done like that. And so late at night, you know, usually they wouldn't leave it out. It's not night, but it's already getting dark. So up to 3 days, you could say maybe it happened to be. But more than that, then we'll say it's probably lost. And therefore, that would be the cutoff to say that then you would go ahead and return it. Tanem Hochi said, we learned similarly in the Brice of this halacha. Matzah talis v'kadim. Someone found a cloak, something like a talis, like a garment, and a hatchet, which we said is like a small type of an axe. So we continue on top of lamed avam and av. B'isaratya. He found this on the path which many people, the public, walk on. Or upara ratze bein akram, or you found a cow that's running amongst the vineyards. Harez aveda, these things are considered lost objects. Something in the place where the public go, or a cow running through the vineyards, that was lost. Talis b'tzad geder, but if you find a cloak on the side of a wall of a fence, or kardim b'tzad geder, or a hatchet on the side of a fence, upara raya ben akram, or a cow that's grazing amongst the vineyards, ein zera aveda, if it's not running there, then it's not going to be considered a lost object. And similarly, if you see it right there on the side of a fence, someone probably put it there. However, the Braisa tells us, gimel yam zachar zeh, if it's 3 days, one after another, harezo aveda, then we consider that a lost object. Again, that was the halacha that Rav told us, although if you see a cow on the road grazing, and that's similar to these halachas, something put there on the side of the wall, someone probably put it there, it's not lost. But if you see it there 3 days in a row, then as we explain the case, which is early in the morning for the cow, and late at night, which it wouldn't make sense, then we'd, after 3 days, the cutoff would say that's probably lost. And then the Braisa concludes with another halacha, Ra'a mayim shashayt from the bond. If you see water that's flooding and it's coming to your friend's field and it's going to ruin it, harez a good bifneim, then the halacha of Ashavas Aveda would be to preempt that, to prevent that loss, and that you should go ahead and put up a fence, a gate, to prevent the flood from taking over his field. That's the same thing as returning the lost object, because it's to avoid the ruination of the person's object. So it's not just taking something that's lost and returning to him. That would even include, if you see the water coming to flood it, to actually put up a wall and to prevent the water from flooding his field.